are listening to the Christian Bookworm Podcast. I'm your host, Sarah, and I show up here to talk to you about all things bookish and to share fiction, nonfiction, and children's book recommendations written by and for Christians. I love reading good books, and I love helping you find good books, too. Let's dive in. This is episode 68, and I'm so glad you're here. You can find the links to all the books and anything else I talk about today on our show notes page, www.authorskbell.com/p/shownotes.html. Before we get started, I just wanted to be awkward for just a minute and talk about money. So it does take time and energy to put out the show. It takes time to record it, and of course I have to re-record things basically every single episode. And on top of that, putting the show notes together and finding all the links, it's all a lot of work. And because I was able to generate some income using the advertising slots, once Spotify took over Anchor and changed the parameters, I still have that same number of listeners, but because the majority of them come from, actually I have more listeners, but because the majority of them come from Apple and not Spotify, I no longer qualify for advertising slots. And so, this podcast was never meant to become my family's primary source of income or anything like that. But it is frustrating to have been generating a small amount and have that taken away. So I just wanted to ask you to just when you do choose to make book purchases and remember in time, if you would be so kind as to consider using my personal links. You pay the same price either way that you would if you just went to the website yourself. The two that I utilize are bookshop.org and Amazon. So you pay the same price you were already going to pay, and rather than keeping the full amount of money for themselves, they throw me a tiny chunk of change as kind of basically like a thank you, a referral commission, if you will. So no pressure. I'm not asking you, please go buy things. I'm just saying if you're going to make a purchase, and you think about it, it would help me out and it would be greatly appreciated. Okay. I don't really like talking about money, things like that. So, let's move on, and thank you for indulging me. I wanted to talk for a little bit today about diversity in the Christian publishing world. So this is something that, has been an issue that was sort of building for a long time, and it really started to become a big hot topic in the book world around 2020. I mean, it was coming out before then, but to really start to get big, it was around 2020 that people just in the publishing world in general, not necessarily the Christian publishing industry, people started to really ask, you know, where are the diverse authors? And also a big one I remember seeing was in picture books. And there was a, I can't remember what it was, but there was like a survey done on all the picture books that had been published that year. And I don't know the exact numbers, but the main amount was about white children. And then after that, we saw the second highest amount of picture books published that year were about animals. And other, you know, other things, you know, from the perspective of a tree or, you know, whatever. And then we like had a very small percentage of books that were about children of other races, children of color. And, so there was a push to kind of make an effort to change that. So I've seen it online since then a few different times where people talk about finding authors of color in the Christian world. And it is absolutely true that there are not enough represented, and that the Christian publishing industry, from my perspective, has more of a skew than the traditional publishing industry. Although in the last couple years, I have to say that that has changed. But I typically, like, people will say, but there's a few, and they'll list like five. And there's so many more than that. And there's some wonderful voices in the Christian publishing industry. There's lots of self-published authors who I just don't know of. And I'm going to name a whole bunch of authors right now, and there's probably lots and lots more that I don't know of. But I just wanted to, just since I have been seeing this a little bit here and there again lately, I wanted to share. So here's some authors I have read and really liked. So Fawn Weaver wrote a book that is still one of my favorites. I love her perspective on marriage and her true, genuine heart for marriage. So The Happy Wives Club. I read this book when it first came out in, like, I don't know, I think 2011 or 12 probably, and I loved it. This is wonderful, like, thoughts on marriage in general, on having a happy marriage. And if you like travel, it's even more fun. I love this one. She's also got The Argument-Free Marriage, and I believe that's it. I believe she only came out with two, but I liked her stuff, and I would love to see her publish more in the future. Sometimes you see just like a one-off, like a memoir, and there's lots and lots of those. In particular, one that stood out to me was Carlos and Rosemary Evans, Standing Together. This is a wounded warrior memoir, kind of in part written by him about his actual journey and struggles, and then also in part written by his wife, sharing her perspective as the support partner and caregiver, as his wife, as he went through this and as she went through this, because she had struggles because of it as well. And they are from Puerto Rico. They split time between the U.S., if you will, and Puerto Rico, which is a U.S. territory, for those of my overseas listeners, but it's not technically considered part of the U.S. in a lot of ways. It's a very interesting story. You definitely learn a lot. There's Priscilla Shirer. She's a big name. We've read her Prince Warriors, her middle grade fantasy series. That's fiction, but the rest of her work, I believe all of the rest of her work, is adult nonfiction, especially for women. And then if the name sounds familiar, but you haven't read anything by her, you may also recognize her name because she is the lead actress in the movie War Room, which is a really good movie if you haven't seen it. There's Robin W. Pearson. She writes contemporary Christian fiction, and she's a good writer. She's got all kinds of really deep, powerful stuff in her books. And I had an interview with her on this podcast that was so good. I don't know why I didn't write down the episode number, but I will link to it in the show notes. But yeah, it was a really good interview. There's Toni Shiloh. She tends to do contemporary Christian romance. She's got one I've read that reminded me of The Princess Diaries from my childhood. This is In Search of a Prince. So we have a young woman who one day finds out of the blue that technically she is African royalty. She's a princess. She's about to take over the throne, and she needs to find a prince quick, and rule this. It is a made up, place. I think it's an island. And it's not a real place. She's made it up for the sake of the story, but that's fun. There's Morgan Harper Nichols. If you like poetry, she tends to kind of weave in some like nonfiction writing with her poetry, and she's real focused on like self development, personal growth, and healing, emotional healing. Some of her work is online as well. Especially I know on Instagram. She's an artist, so she puts a lot of her poetry as art, and she's written some really beautiful things. Bonnie Gray, she's got quite a few nonfiction, but one that I read and really loved was Finding Spiritual White Space. This book made me think and reflect so much. Oftentimes you read Christian nonfiction and it has the, reflective question prompts at the end of the chapter. And some of them are great and some of them are not, honestly, there are times I read one and the question is something like, have you ever had a struggle in life? And it's like, oh, okay, come on. Hers were not that. She had some really good, encouragement, and, anyways, it was great, great reflective stuff. Anjali Pascal has quite a few, and one in particular I read and really liked was Stay. Also another good one for like emotional healing. Some good stuff as far as like learning to stay with your emotions and not try to stuff them down and avoid them. And then I'm not the target market for this, but Tony Evans has a devotional. He has a lot of work, but the only thing I've read is a devotional called Kingdom Men Rising. I got a copy from the publisher and I flipped through it to see if it was something I would be okay with my son reading as a teenager. And I was. And then, like I say, there's lots and lots of authors I don't know about, or, you know, have seen, you know, something like one of theirs and it's not coming to mind. There were a few that I could picture the cover, but I couldn't think of the author's name or the title. So I'm just lost on, I can't recommend those, but a few names I definitely know of and haven't read yet. T.D. Jakes and his daughter, Sarah Jakes Roberts, also, not together. They write their own books. There's fiction. Those are nonfiction. There's some fiction by Angela Jackson Brown that I have had on my to be read shelf, or actually list. I don't have it for a while now, and still haven't gotten to it. A nonfiction or a historical fiction that I think sounds really good. Vanessa Miller is one who just recently came onto my radar. She's got now two fiction novels. I think one just came out recently or is about to come out. Anyway, she's got two of them that I think sound so good. My kind of emotionally gripping relationship or issues driven contemporary Christian romance. Yeah, I'm looking forward to those. And then another nonfiction author, she's got quite a few that have appealed to me over the years. So several of her books are on my to-be-read list, and I just haven't gotten to them yet. This is Ruth Simons, and the middle name, I'm not sure if it's C-H-O-U, so I'm not sure if it's Chu. So Ruth Chu or Chow Simons. And like I say, she has several nonfiction works that I think look and sound really good. Let's talk about my book recommendations this week. I think I have some pretty good ones for you. For fiction, I want to talk about Someday Home by Lorraine Snelling. This is my third book I've read by this author, and I have really enjoyed all three of them. So she's definitely one on my watch list. I will absolutely be paying attention to the books that she puts out there. This one, what's refreshing about this one is that our main protagonists, we have all females. This is like kind of a unlikely group of friends, kind of a found family situation. And they are all in their late 50s, early 60s, which is nice because often books are about a female who's 28 to 31 years old and single and about to meet her future husband. So it's nice to read something that is a little different sometimes. So in this case, we have a widow, we have a woman whose husband just left her, and we have a woman who has never married. She's always been just caring for her parents, and now with their passing, now she's on her own. And just with these circumstances, they all kind of need a roommate right now. So these women are strangers, and through other circumstances, I think like some of their sons know each other, just random ways that they end up finding each other and choosing to move in together. And so it's really neat to see each woman has her own inner stuff she's working through, and each woman has her own family and relationship dynamics outside of the group. And then, of course, you've just thrown three strangers under the same roof, so they're developing friendships with each other, but also working through some of their differences and some of the grievances that come along with sharing a roof with somebody. I am in my early 30s, I guess like mid 30s now, and I really liked this one, but I definitely especially think that it will appeal to those of you who are probably, yeah, 50s and 60s and 40s, you know. I mean, I do think that this can be an enjoyable read for anybody, but I imagine it'll be particularly refreshing for those of you who are in similar situations, who have adult children, who have experienced more life and are not in your late 20s and looking for a husband, I think it'll be fun to take a break from that and visit something else for a change. For nonfiction, I want to tell you about one I recently read that was very helpful to me in understanding the current conflict in the Middle East, and that I think might be helpful for you too. This is a few years old, so it's not completely current, but it helps you to understand the historical significance. So this is The Red-Haired Archaeologist Digs Israel by Amanda Hope Haley. So right off the bat, I got this book at that Mardell Christian bookstore there in the South. There's a few of them. It is a big chain. They have a bargain book section, at least at the ones I have visited. And this one was marked down to a dollar. So along with a bunch of others, I grabbed this book and I thought, oh, maybe that could be something that could be good when my kids are in high school. But I didn't actually end up reading it at first. And then recently I was looking for something else in my nonfiction to be read shelf, and I saw this one and I thought, actually, that could be interesting right now, just with everything that's currently going on. So I pulled it out and I decided to give it a try. I wasn't super thrilled or excited about it, and it kind of blew my mind. It was very interesting. I learned a lot. This book is like full of facts, but yet it's fun and breezy and, you know, as fun as can be at certain points. Some of it is very fun and some of it is a little heavier, but her writing style is really fun and breezy, and you just sort of slide right into it. I never felt like I was being lectured or like I was reading a textbook, but yet I learned an awful lot. So I definitely recommend this one. What I appreciated also was that it was really pretty unbiased. Obviously, she is a Christian. Writing a Christian book, you can surmise that she most likely leans more in one direction, but she's toured both sides of Israel and Palestine. She's been to the Gaza Strip. She's done archaeological digs in these areas, and she has interviewed people on both sides. And she, to me, I felt that she presented a pretty unbiased example of how people feel. You know, she really explained, here's what this side has to say, and here's what this side has to say. And she even shared, you know, that at one point she had thought, well, let's just do this. And then she, you know, met with these people and heard their stories and decided, you know, I don't know that there's necessarily a super easy answer. And I could really appreciate that. I think when you turn on the news, or, you know, go to a news article right now, it's pretty hard these days to find unbiased journalism, and that's so interesting to me because I majored in journalism in college, and we were definitely taught things like, if it bleeds, it leads, things like that, but overall, we were taught that journalism should be completely unbiased. Well, I vividly remember one of my professors telling us that technically, to be a truly unbiased journalist, you should never even register to vote. You should not vote. You should not have a political leaning. You should focus on the facts and presenting the facts to everyone so that they can make their judgments. And your job is not to make judgments. Your job is to present the facts. And that is clearly not what's being taught these days or what is accepted in the newsroom. And it's very difficult to find just the facts without a little bit of a sneer, a little bit of an eye roll, some inflection on certain words. And even in writing, there have been many times where I've read, there's a lot of, you know, you only have so many sentences available to you when you write these short news articles. And I'll read a news article and be so surprised that two or three of the sentences allowed in this news article were not a fact. They were not necessary to the story. They're something that somehow didn't get cut in the editing room. They just got left in place, and they're just simply an opinion. And it surprises me. So, of course, she has, you know, this is long form, and she has all kinds of things that have nothing to do with just the facts, because she's also talking about her archaeological digs, which is fun in itself, talking about what they've found and relating that to passages in the Bible that correlate. That was really fun too. But it was really nice to get to not have someone just blatantly trying to sway me in one direction or the other, and yet explaining, Here's what's happened. Here's what these people believe. Here's what these people believe. I have two children's recommendations to make for you today. Well, one is children's and one is young adult. So we'll start with a picture book. This is Broken Crayons, Still Color by Tony Collier. You can surmise from the title what this one is about. I definitely appreciated the imagery here and the point being made essentially that you don't have to be perfect, you don't have to be grand, you don't have to be amazing to still be able to do good things and be a part of God's story. And so this one brought a lot of really good discussion. It was a really good and a technically pretty profound message, but it's written in such a simple way that it can easily be understood by a 3-4-year-old on up. It wasn't a long, wordy picture book. It definitely was more than just the few simple rhymes on a page, but not a whole lot more. So it was a decently short and easy bedtime read, but yet brought some really great discussion, and I definitely recommend it. For a young adult read, I'm going to tell you about a trilogy called Isle of Swords by Wayne Thomas Batson. This is a pirate story. So 3-book series talking about pirates. We've got some really cool religious, like historical imagery, which I thought was really fun. And obviously lots of pirate talk. Because we're dealing with pirates, we do have some violence. So parents should be aware of that going into it. I did not personally find it to be gratuitously graphic. I am pretty sensitive to that. And I wasn't shocked and dismayed like I have been in some other books, even some Christian suspense novels. But it is in there. And there were a couple things where I thought, oh, okay, if this gets much worse, I won't like that. But it didn't, thankfully. So you may want to check it for yourself, but go into it knowing that that is coming. But overall, I definitely was surprised. I liked it. It's definitely not something I don't typically seek out pirate books, but I liked it. I'm actively seeking out books for my children, for their shelves as they get older, and especially noticing when it comes to Christian or at least clean and wholesome books, it gets harder and harder to find good ones in general, but especially for boys. It's not too hard to find some clean historical fiction that's great for girls. There's certainly some classics, you know, lots of people turn to like all the, L.M. Montgomery, author of Anne of Green Gables, will turn to all of her books, some things like that. But in terms of books for young men, yes, it does. It definitely becomes more difficult to find some. And it's really easy for me to look at that situation and see why so many young men, stop reading when there's not a whole lot, being made available to you. And your video game consoles are calling, well, it's not hard to see which route you'll go. So it made me happy to be able to add a trilogy to his shelves because we have a really cool female protagonist here. She's pretty tough and pulls off some cool things. This one will easily work for boys or girls, which I appreciate. But subject matter-wise, it will definitely work for our young men out there, and that made me very happy. That is our show today, Bookworms. Thank you, as always, for being here and for listening. Thank you for showing up and talking books with me today. I wanted to take a minute to remind you that your body and your heart and your mind are all connected, and the choices you make in terms of taking care of yourself do matter. When you are not at your best, it's really hard to do your best and be your best. So, drink some water, move your body, eat something healthy, go to bed on time, take care of yourself. When you take care of yourself and you're feeling good, it's so much easier to learn and reflect and grow and recognize the things that God is showing you and teaching you. When you do that, that will improve your internal life greatly, but it'll also improve the lives of people around you. Not only does it give you a better attitude and a better mindset, but it will also help you to better be able to teach and encourage and inspire and share. And everybody wins when you take good care of yourself. So, if you can't do it for yourself, and I hope that you can, then at least do it for the people around you. If you want to keep in touch with me between now and the next episode, you can always do that on my blog. That is probably the very best place. That is authorskbell.com. You can also find me on YouTube. I have been putting up more videos lately. I've been very proud of myself for that. I am The Christian Bookworm on YouTube. You can also find me as Author S.K. Bell on Pinterest and S.K. Bell on Goodreads. I think that's everything. I hope you have a great day today, bookworms, and I hope that at some point involves you curling up with a good book. See you next time.